Good morning again. Was that an echo? Because I don't see the assistant preacher Josiah in here this morning. Okay. I just want to say a big thank you and appreciation to our worship team. It's tough being up here, and as we're worshiping this morning, I get a picture from the Word of God, you know, and that's why we're created the way we are. Not only our physical bodies, but also our church body. And when one part's missing, and one part's hurting, I noticed Dan clapping like this morning. We all feel it, don't we? But they braved it. They put forth their best effort, and guess what? The Holy Spirit is present in our midst this morning. Okay, let's jump right into the Word. Two things happened last week. Last Sunday, as a matter of fact, that I would like to reflect on as we begin this morning. First, Pastor Jim gave an excellent message about baptism. Unfortunately, the baptism plan for today had to be canceled because no one signed up. I really thought about signing up. For those of you who missed the message, I highly encourage you to listen to it. And in that line, I have a confession to make. Brace yourselves. If I had signed up and been baptized, it would have been the fourth time. Because the reality is, I've been baptized three times. First, I was baptized by sprinkling as an infant in the Episcopal Church, an event which I had absolutely nothing to do with. After I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I have the year in my notes, but I'll skip that because then it'll give you an idea of how old I am. I was baptized by immersion in the Baptist Church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the Baptist Church, they have the baptismal thing right on the altar, on the pulpit. Open it up and you jump right in there after you go through some training, of course. And then things were good. I mean, I'll tell you this, I was in the 10th grade at the time. And then I was on fire for approximately 3 years. Things were good. I was doing all the right things. And then I graduated high school and moved away to college. And things went downhill from there. And it didn't stick. Thank you, helper. And I walked away from the Lord for a good while, approximately about 15 years. And then one day when the time was right, walked into a church for the first time. Got convicted when the invitation was given. Walked to the front, gave my life to the Lord again, and was baptized again in the name of Jesus that time. And their baptism is instant, right? When you confess and profess, you're dumped in right there. So it was immersion again in the name of Jesus. So I think one of them got a stick. I got it covered. And then the second thing that happened, somebody was expecting me to say something else. I'll disappoint you this morning. The second thing that happened last Sunday is we had a financial board meeting following the service. We looked at the general financial health of the church. And as a board, we are pretty thankful for where we are. While we may not yet be where we want to be, we are definitely not where we used to be. When we sat up here a few months ago, the whole board, and shared with you the financial picture of the church, things were looking pretty dire at that time. So on behalf of the leadership, I would personally like to thank all of you for your faithfulness in giving here at New Hope Christian Center. And I didn't tell Pastor Jim I was going to say this. So if this is my last message, you know why. So, that being said, the topic we're going to meditate on this morning is lessons from the heart on giving. Lessons from the heart on giving. And I'll start with three quotes from three famous figures. Where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. And where your heart is, there is your happiness. That's attributed to Augustine. This one is attributed to Martin Luther. I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all. But what I have given into God's hands, I still possess. Martin Luther. And this last one is attributed to C.S. Lewis. I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. That's attributed, like I said, to C.S. Lewis. There's a lot said in the Bible about money. In the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses deals with money. Now, I haven't counted it myself, but somebody who's done that said so. Of the 29 parables Christ told, 16 deal with a person and his money. Now, even me can figure out that it's more than half, right? If money was important enough for Jesus to talk about, we can also find some times to talk about it. And like I always tell people, the Bible is rich with so many things to talk about. And there's some churches that all they talk about is money. There's some churches that most of the time they talk about something else. There's very few churches that talk about sin most of the time. We try to have a balance here at New Hope, and sometimes some people are pretty shy about talking about money. But if Jesus talk about it, I think it's okay. Is it okay this morning? Amen. So we'll look at a few points, and very atypical of when I speak, we're going to look at quite a few scriptures this morning. The first point we want to make is giving. Let's look at the scripture first. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Most of us can recite that from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The point I want us to take from there is that giving comes from and after loving. In other words, we give because we love. Amen? That's the pattern that the scripture tells us God took. He said, for God. So we can translate that because of the love, because God so loved the world. It was because of that love that he gave the greatest gift that we could ever have, the gift of his only son, to pay a debt that we could never pay. And a lot of times we don't think in those terms when we're thinking about giving as far as our money is concerned. And yes, giving takes many forms. We may not have money to give, but we can give of our time, right? We can give of our talents. And of course, we can also give of our treasures, which is the money. But the foundation of that is love. We loved him. What does the scripture say? Only because he first loved us. And it is that love that prompts us to give. Not because someone lays a guilt trip on us. Not because, I mean, in the Episcopal Church, they had what they call pledge. You had to do a pledge card at the beginning of every year and pledge how much you are going to give, and they use those pledges. And they got you one way or another. Because even if you didn't pay your pledges for 50 years and you died, guess what? Your body wasn't entering that church till it was paid up. Oh yeah. We don't do that here. Because we understand what the scripture says. That we give out of love. Okay? The next thing we're going to look at is all money and treasures, and frankly, everything we are and have comes from God and actually belongs to him. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses 17 through 18. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So it is he that gives us the ability. You know, sometimes we think it's our smarts, it's our savvy, it's our talent. I mean, we always chuckle when I hear somebody pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Nope. It's him. He gives us the ability because of what he has already promised in his word. And it's just putting things into place to bring to pass what he knows is going to happen. It's not by by happenstance, it's not by chance, it's not by coincidence that he blesses people so that he may establish his covenant. He's just putting us into position to be a part of what he has established. Let me just say this. It's a privilege and an honor to be a part of what God is doing. But guess what? He doesn't really need you or me. He is God all by himself. Amen? Amen. He has no equal in heaven or on earth. So if he chooses to make us a part of what he's doing, We should not consider it a burden. We should consider it a blessing. Amen. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. It all belongs to Him, including we ourselves. So there is no way that we can have a mindset that we belong to Him and then at the same time have this concept that blessings that He has blessed us with actually belong to us. Let me repeat that. We should never have the mindset that we belong to Him and then at the same time think that whatever He has blessed us with belong to us. Something wrong. So if we think whatever we have belongs to us, then I would venture to say we probably don't really believe that we belong to Him. Amen? Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 14. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Now that's the mindset I'm talking about. That I'm not even worthy to have the ability to give, because after all, I'm not giving anything from me. I'm just giving you back what is already yours. Who am I? And who are my people that we should be so privileged to give back to you what is already yours? And for those of you who might not know, 1 Chronicles is in the Old Testament. This was before Jesus came. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 13 through 14. For I do not mean, and it's the Apostle Paul speaking here, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. Your plenty will supply what they need. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. See, we just talk about the body and the composition. Every body, whether our physical body or our spiritual body here in the church, is meant to have the members who work together for the good of the body. Amen? And there will never be a body constituted under the Bible where Christ is the head that should lack anything in order for that body to survive and thrive, according to the scripture we just read. That even though there may be some that will lack, there will be others that will have an abundance that will be able to bring about an equilibrium by lifting those up, lifting the body up where there is lack. And it may not be a constant thing. There may be a cycle where Somebody who was in abundance at one point may, you know, come across some hard times. And somebody else who may have been in the lacking category at some point may be able to chip in and lift up the body. Amen? We have a church, we were just talking about the 30th anniversary, and I whispered to Ron, I said, "You've been here the whole time, haven't you?" And he chuckled. But we haven't been here that long. I think it's 22 years now. But we've seen people come and go. People come in, stay for a while. Some come one time. Some come stay 2-3 years and leave. But God places people as part of his grand plan for his church. So guess what? As people come and go, sometimes we worried, you know, oh, that person was a good giver, and how are we going to replace them? That's not our business. That's God's business. This is his church. And he's more than able to see us through. Yeah? Sometimes he comes through at the zero hour when we're just about to give up. But he always comes through. Amen? The next point we want to consider is we should give cheerfully and willingly. And the only way, the easiest way to do that is to give out of love, right? We give those we love cheerfully and willingly, hopefully. Not out of compulsion or because we expect something in return. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, unfortunately, some, I think they're well-meaning preachers, have kind of, a preacher won't twist the scripture, would they? Some people have kind of twisted the scripture to think that God rewards us in proportion to what we give. That can't be true, because if it was true, he would not have given us his only begotten son. Right? But it is true that if you're farming, you only get a harvest in proportion to what you plant. Amen? If you plant one stalk of wheat, that's all you're going to harvest. You can't expect to plant one stalk and expect to harvest 200 acres. No. So it is true. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So we talk about lessons from the heart. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So it's a heart thing. We give because we love. And so what we purpose in our heart because of this love that we have for our Lord, we give not grudgingly or of necessity. When it's talk about of necessity here, it means or you're trying to abide by the law. No, you don't have a legal mandate. No one's going to come and arrest you and take you somewhere because you didn't give. Because it's a hard thing. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 through 20, I like this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. We read the quote from Augustine, where you're treasure is, that's where your heart is. Again, it's a heart thing. It's a condition of the heart. Not only what we give, but also the attitude with which we give. And if we have a mind that God is the source of it all, and He's in control, and we are His, then we have the ability to think kingdom, to think of our part, that He has blessed us to be able to partake in bringing about, furthering His kingdom and His work here on earth. Next point we want to look at is we should be faithful stewards of what God has blessed us with. We should be faithful stewards of what God has blessed us with. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now you can look at that so many ways. But, and again, an account in every way. We have to account with it for everything that He has given us, including salvation, including our talents, including our time. Every week I look at my phone and it tells me how much time I spent on it. They should get rid of that feature. And I cringe. And I'm not one of those that's on my phone a whole lot. That's the amazing thing. But it's not only our money, but we also have to give an account of whatever He has passed through us and blessed us with. Luke 12 and 48, second part of that verse. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. God does not expect us, unlike the federal government, to go print money to give him. we give him from what he has given us. Amen? And because it's a hard thing, the more he gives us, the more we're willing to give him. Jesus told the story of the widow and her one, her last, her mite, one mite that she put into the offering. And people were complaining that was all she gave. And he said, she's giving more than all of you because she's giving out of her lack. That's the last that she has. So the more we are blessed, the more it is expected, God expects us to be a blessing, because that's what his word says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Now, when you are a steward, you are actually a caretaker. Amen? Whatever you are a caretaker of does not really belong to you. You are only taking care of it and managing it according to the wishes and the will of the person who gives you the privilege of caring for his or her stuff. Amen? We are a caretaker for everything that God has blessed us with. We are a caretaker for the talents and abilities that he's blessed us with. We are a caretaker for the time that he's blessed us with here on earth. And of course, we are a caretaker for the money that he blesses us with. And we should be good caretakers, so that when we go to give an account, we'll not be like the one in the parable that buried the talent because he was afraid of the, and he was brave enough to tell him, "Master, I know you're a hard man. Why you take my money when you know I'm a hard man?" No, we should be faithful. And part of that faithfulness is looking at the plan and the purpose for which the Master has entrusted us with these treasures and use them to further his purpose. Not our own fleshly desires, but his purpose. Amen? It's getting quiet in here. The next point we're going to look at, it might be the last one. Oh, I got plenty of time. Might be the last one. Money is not inherently evil. It is the love of money that can drive us away from God. See, if money itself was evil, God wouldn't give it to us, right? First Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, and then we drop to 17 through 19. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, there's a whole message right in that passage. For the love of money, and why is the love of money the root of all kinds of evil? Because of it, some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. You see, we give because we love, but that love should be for God. Amen? If our love is primarily for the treasures that we have, then it's difficult to give. It becomes difficult because we want to hold on to those things that we love. And that is why this verse is some people twist it to say, you know, money is bad, and then some people go to the extreme. I got to live as a hermit in the cave in the mountain. That's the only way to show that I'm holy. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. It is God that gives us the blessing and the ability to earn money. But because we recognize that, we know it belongs to Him, we know we need to be faithful stewards, and we have a heart of love, it should be easy to give back part of what He's blessed us with. Even if you, we're just talking about giving. If you notice, I haven't talked anything about tithing, because then that brings a whole other theological discussion. But I would venture to say that even if you decided to give 10%, I guarantee you that the 90% will be more than enough to meet all your needs. Amen? Because that's scripture. Willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Philippians 4, verses 12 to 13. Paul speaking again, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a great perspective to have. I will propose to you this morning that in the grand scheme of things in the world today, everyone in this place, under the sound of my voice, including myself, would be considered rich by universal standards. But yet, some of us have had some rough patches in our lives. We've had times that we lacked some basic needs. We may have had to skip a meal or two. We may not, at some point in our lives, had a roof that we could call our own over our head. Or we could afford to put on ourselves was to go down to Goodwill. But we still had clothes on our backs. What am I saying? I'm saying that God takes care of his own. So even when we think we lack, he still got our back. Even when we think that there's no way I can get through tomorrow, he's already figured out a way to take us through tomorrow. Because guess what? He's got something for us to do day after tomorrow. And the only way to get to day after tomorrow is to get through tomorrow first. He's got it figured out, brethren. We just have to have that heart of love and allow him first place in our lives. And then the last scripture we're going to look at this morning is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's the word of the Lord. I didn't make that up, I promise. Well, guess what? God already gave the greatest gift that we could ever have, right? Without us doing anything. So he's not talking about a quid pro quo. He's not talking about he's going to withhold blessings from us until we get. We can't buy blessings from God. No, no. When you start thinking that way, then you miss the whole idea. We give out of a heart of love. We give out of a heart of being a faithful steward of what he's blessed us with. We give out of a heart that, what the heck, it already belongs to him. It's just passing through my hands. And that's the attitude that we're supposed to have. And now just because I can, I would venture to say that probably today isn't the first time some of us have heard these verses or read these verses of scripture. So, what prevents us? We talk about one of them, that's the love of money. But what prevents us from giving like God has said in his word? And I wrote down three reasons here. One, I'm not sure how the money is spent, or closely related to it, I don't like how the money is spent. Believe it or not, some people, that's a reason they don't give. I'm not sure how, or even if I know how, I don't like how the money is spent. In this church, we try to be very transparent. This is God's work. It doesn't belong to any of us. Maybe it belongs to Pastor Jim. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. But the church needs money. And God has put us here to be the church. We are the church. We just use the building and the facilities, and it requires money to operate. We don't have an overhead body that we need to report to or conform to. Jesus is the head of this church. Pastor Jim calls me bishop. I'm not bishop. We don't have a bishop that oversees us or an organization that helps prop us up. No, we're independent. So if you didn't know that, I'm giving you that information today. Another reason people don't give is that some people just think the church already has enough, and it's just too greedy. Some people watch too much television and see some people on television, unfortunately, who sometimes have the tendency to pervert the gospel and cause some well-meaning people to kind of have second doubts or doubts about, hey, what's going on here? But I believe that there's some people who just think that there's not really a need, that somehow, miraculously, and those people who think that way also think that, you know, somebody else, we got enough rich people in here that are shouldering the burden. But we read the scripture that says it's everybody's business, right? That there will be some who will have abundance, and there will at the same time be some who will lack. And when we all come together, we make the body function properly. But the main reason that I think people don't give, and I wrote it down as, I have my own needs and unsure of tomorrow. Suppose something happens. I gotta have all this money in the bank, because someday I plan to retire, and someday, you know, we got all our plans laid out. Like the guy in the Bible, what did he say? I'm going to build a barn and I'm going to do this. He had all these plans. What it boils down to is that we don't trust God enough. That's the underlying. We don't believe that it's already His. We don't believe that we're only stewards. We don't believe that He's more than able to meet all our needs. And so we hedge. We trickle because we don't trust Him. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can trust Him. He has you here for a reason. As we're worshiping this morning, singing that song, your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. I can testify to you this morning that God is good. God is good. When He has a purpose for you, and you, even if you're not walking according to that purpose, He still takes care of you. I can testify to you this morning. I lost both my parents in a car accident. The year I was going to the ninth grade. no windfall, no insurance, no nothing. But my life did not skip a beat. In fact, I got a promotion out of the whole deal. Because he knew that one day I'll be standing here proclaiming his word in this very place. And he's blessed me beyond my wildest imaginations. He has a plan for each and every one of you. Just have a heart of love. He already loved you. You can only love him because he first loved us. And have a heart to give of what he has blessed us with. I'll have the worship team come up. I'll leave you with a question this morning. And the question is this: what am I holding on to that's robbing me of present joy and future reward? What am I keeping that's preventing me from having to depend on you? What am I clinging to that makes me feel like I don't have to depend on you to provide, like I used to before I had so much? What do you want me to release that could restore me to a walk of faith? Let me read that one more time. What am I holding on to that's robbing me of present joy and future reward? What am I keeping that's preventing me from having to depend on you? What am I clinging to that makes me feel like I don't have to depend on you to provide, like I used to before I had so much? What do you want me to release that could restore me to a walk of faith? And I leave you with that this morning. Please stand. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you that your blessings overcome us and overtake us. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through his death and resurrection, we have hope this morning. Hope not only of victories in battles that we fight during this walk on earth, but hope of eternal life with you in heaven. Father, we commit everyone under the sound of my voice to you this morning. And I pray you will give us a renewed sense of urgency about our walk with you, about the need to reach the world, to hungry and dying souls out there, about the need to do what we can to further your kingdom here on earth, about the need to love you and love one another because you've already loved us, Lord. Father, I pray for those that are sick this morning, in body, in mind, emotionally, in spirit. Bring healing, Lord. Touch them. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for frayed relationships this morning. We pray for families, marriages. We pray, Lord, that you will bind us with your love with your power. Cover everyone under the blood of Jesus this morning. And I pray you will dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit abide with us and in us until we meet again. All God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.